Thank you guys. Wow, gonna get me start crying to start service there, Craig. Man, well guys, thank you so much for letting me come and speak with you guys today. Whenever I'm allowed to talk in front of people, I take it very, very seriously. So Craig, Dina, thank you so much for inviting me. Pastor Lynn, thank you so much. I mean, this is a huge honor for me to come speak to you guys today. Once again, I apologize that my wife and three kids were not here. It's like moving an aircraft carrier right now for us. We have a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 3-month-old. And our 3-year-old's going on 40, so she's trying to make sure we're rolling. But guys, thank you so much for letting me be here today. I'd like to open us up in prayer before we get going. You guys good with that? All right, we're going to interact a little bit tonight. So bow your heads, guys. Dear Lord, I just thank you for another day of life. I just thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit of my story, Lord, and how you've continued to work in me and will continue to work in me. And I pray that everyone in this room just takes one or two things from my talk that can help them continue to be a light and push the kingdom forward, Lord. We love you, Lord. Speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so before I kind of jump into some of the stuff I want to share with you guys today, first off, I want to make sure I'm very open that I do not have this all figured out. And I'm very open. I'm open about my faith, but I also make sure I am a work in progress. I am on a path. I am in a journey just like everybody else. So please do not look at me standing up in front of church speaking like, wow, Spencer Daniels has it figured out. I do not. Just call my wife and she will tell you that. All right? There's a lot of things that the Lord's working me in, but I'm a product of a lot of really good people in my life. First and foremost, I am a product of having a phenomenal father, all right? My dad is Roger Danielson. He is 79 years old. He was in the Army, and I am a product of having an amazing mom and an amazing dad, all right? So for all the fathers in the room, there is no greater role than being a dad. No greater role than being a father. And it might be to your quote-unquote blood, but it might be to someone else in your life too, being that father figure. For me growing up, I knew exactly what right and wrong were. Right? It didn't let culture or society tell me what's right. It was my dad through the scripture telling me, hey, Spencer, this is right and wrong. And the mistakes I made in life, which I've made a lot, I knew exactly what was right, and I hung a quick other turn, right? But I knew exactly what was right and wrong because I had a phenomenal dad. Another part about my dad is he always believed in me. Always believed in me. Didn't come from a lot, but my dad believed in me. For my entire life, every time when I would ever wake up and we're getting ready to go to school, he would look at me and say, Spencer, you're a champion. Spencer, you're a champion. Spencer, you're a champion. And he'd do it in public. And I'm like, Dad, we just actually lost, so I'm not a champion. But he's like, no, I'm talking about way bigger things in life. And he just always believed in me as a father. And I think that's something that I want to do for my kids. We have 110 players on our current team, let alone some of the young men that we've been able to coach over the years. And I'm a father figure to them. Need to be. We had a young man last week, similar to almost the story you were talking about, Craig. Last week, one of our players, dad, going to the bathroom and just flatlined and passed away last week. And meeting with him and his mom, I'm even going to step into even a bigger role as a father for this young man, right? And that's a lot of people in this room too. But I am a product, guys. Thank you so much for what all the fathers in this room. I'm a product of a dad believing in me. And I tell our team this, belief is a big deal to me. Because I know for my upbringing, like when someone believes in you, anything is possible. And I told our team this story. There was this business owner that was in Central Park one day, and he was really kind of depressed sitting on this park bench because he quit his kind of easy job and opened up his own company because he thought it was going to be really successful, but he kind of hit some hard times. And so he's sitting on this park bench in Central Park in New York, just really frustrated and down that this company he started is not going well. And this older gentleman kind of comes up to him and sees on his face that he's frustrated and down. He's like, hey, what's going on? And so this business owner kind of explains to this older gentleman, you know, his business and why he's frustrated. He thought it would work, but for some reason it's not. And this older gentleman looks at him and says, I want you to know, like, I believe in that company that you just started. I'm John D. Rockefeller. I am a tycoon in the oil industry. I believe in you. And so this small business owner who's sitting on the park bench is like, if John D. Rockefeller believes in me, I gotta double down on this. This is gonna work. So for the next year, instead of wavering and kind of moving away from his company, he doubled down on it. He poured more resources into it, more time into it. And then after like a year and a half, his small business was now on the front page of magazines. He's one of the top entrepreneurs in the country, right? Because someone believed in him. And so he's like, man, I got to go back to this park and find John D. Rockefeller and tell him thank you for believing in me because everything's changed now. And so he goes back to Central Park about a year and a half later, and he's looking for this older gentleman, John D. Rockefeller. And so he goes back to Central Park, and he's kind of walking around, can't see him. And another guy, a middle-aged man, is kind of looking. He sees that this guy's looking for somebody, and he goes up to him and says, you know, are you looking for someone? And he's like, yeah, I'm looking for an older gentleman. I'm looking for John D. Rockefeller. And the middle-aged man kind of looks at him like, okay. And he kind of looks around the park with him. He's like, are you talking about that guy over there? And he points to the exact same older gentleman sitting underneath a tree. And the business owner's like, yeah, that's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for John D. Rockefeller. And he's like, that's not John D. Rockefeller, that's Bobby. And he lives at the senior living home across the street. And he's been telling everybody he's John D. Rockefeller, right? But I love that story because it's the power of belief, right? It's the power of belief. When someone, God bless Bobby's heart. He wasn't an oil tycoon, but he believed in this business owner. And I just think so much, and my dad did a lot of amazing things for me, but the biggest thing is he believed in me. He believed in me. Even the things I messed up, the things I didn't do well, whatever it might be, man, I'm a product of having a dad that believed in me. So dads in here, continue to believe in your kids, continue to pour into them. And the last thing that I learned so much from my dad is consistency. Consistency, the same all the time. Paying the bills, not able to pay the bills, things are going good, not going good, health concerns. My dad was always consistent with me, with our family. And that's something that I want to be for my current family, and especially even for our players too, is that consistency. So no greater role than being a father. So all the fathers in this room, God bless you guys, and happy Father's Day. I'm going to jump into now, guys, talking through a couple things, and I want to use my story. And there's some football weaved into it, but I'm not going to talk a lot about football. That is not what I use the vehicle of football to show people Jesus, okay? I am judged, as a football coach, I am judged 12 nights a year, all right? That is my job. But I believe that I'm really judged when my players 20 years from now, how they are as husbands, fathers, professionals, where they are with Jesus. Like, that's how I'm really judged. So I'm going to use kind of my story to hopefully you guys can relate in your own life and take some of the things that God's kind of brought to me to help me continue to push forward and be a light in the kingdom. Okay, guys? So I'm born and raised in Southern California, and I went to Azusa Pacific. Who's heard of Azusa Pacific in here? Really? Okay. All right. Good to hear. We got some Cougs in here. Okay. So Azusa Pacific is a small Division II Christian private school in Southern California. So I went there to play football. But I went there to do football, and I was a business major because I wanted to make as much money as I could. I was like, man, I want to go. I love football, but I want to make money and do all these things. And so I go to Azusa Pacific. There, I meet my wife, Rachel. All right, she was a volleyball player. And I go to a volleyball match. I'm supporting one of my friends who's dating a volleyball girl. And I go to the volleyball game, and I see this cute girl named Rachel, and I'm very interested. And so after the game, I go up to her, and I say, hi, Rachel, your boyfriend must be amazing. And she looks at me. She's like, I don't have a boyfriend. I said, perfect. I'm Spencer. Good to meet you. Kid you not. Yeah. And she ran away like I was a creep. Okay, let's call that what it is. All right, but I chased her around for a couple months. We started dating, so ended up getting married. And by the time I was done with my time at APU, the coaches at APU, through the vehicle of football, changed my life. And they used the vehicle of football to teach me how to be a better man. My relationship with Jesus was galvanized in college. Like, all these things changed my life when I was at Azusa Pacific. And so the second I got done playing football in December, I started coaching in January because I just wanted to do the same. I didn't care about the money, didn't care about the status. I didn't even know what the coaching life looked like. I just knew I wanted to have an impact. And from there, that's something that has just taken me a lot of different places, the thought of like, I just want to have an impact. And I think so much of it has to come down to your why. That's my why. It's not to win games. It's not to have status or this or whatever, fill in the blank, because all those things will let you down. My why is to have an impact. And I think everybody in this room, I'm a big believer in that. I know people probably heard that before. You got to know, what is your why? What is it? Because when the hard times come, when it gets rough, the waters get a little choppy, you got to come back to, why am I doing blank? Why am I doing this? And everybody's job is going to look different, but what is your why? Mine is to have an impact. And I tell our team this story. If I were to put a 2x4 at the front of this podium and say, for $1,000, who would walk across this 2x4? Probably a lot of people in this room would, correct? All right? But if I were to say, I'm going to move this 2x4 to the top of 2 skyscrapers and say, for $1,000, who would walk across it now? Hopefully nobody, right? But if I were to say, on the other side of that 2x4, your mom's in trouble and she needs you, I would hope everybody would walk across that 2x4, right? So the stakes didn't change, your why did, right? The money didn't change, right? The end, maybe what you're going for, but your why changed. I think about that a lot for my life, is I got to always double down on why am I doing this? It's to have an impact on these kids and use the vehicle of football to push the kingdom forward. That is my why. Yeah. And everybody in this room has to continue to find it. Amen? And so from APU, I had a coach named Alan Beatty, and he taught me those 3 things that Craig talked about: love Jesus, work hard, treat people right. And I remember when he told me these when I was in college, I was so impacted because it was so clear, it was so concise, and it was something that I know if I can do those 3 every single day, I am going to be the best version of myself. And so I have those written on everything I do. I got wristbands, they're on my office, because I want to know what I got to do every day. If I know I love Jesus every day, that's my foundation. I know, man, nothing, everything else can fail. Jesus won't. And I know if I believe in hard work. I believe God honors hard work. And I believe how you treat people matters. So those are 3 things from a coach that impacted me 15, 20 years ago that I take to me every day. And it's something that I use to know, if I'm doing these 3, I'm going to be the best husband I could be. I'm going to be the best coach I could be. I'm going to be the best man I could be. And those are things that I continue to check myself daily to make sure I'm doing. So from APU, we come out to Boise State. All right, we got here in 2017. Anybody remember Snowmageddon? Yeah. I thought people lied to me when I moved out. I'm like, this is Antarctica out here. I'm like, what are we doing? But my wife called and was like, how is it? I'm like, it's great, sweetie. You're going to love it. It's going to be perfect. But we moved out here in 2017 and had no affiliation to Boise, no affiliation to Boise State. But just knew that I really, truly feel like God called us here. Come on. And prayed about it and came here as a graduate assistant. I'm not going to go into all the inner workings of our time here, but God's hand and God's favor is all over our journey. And even in times where it was very dark and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, I really, truly feel like God called us to this place. No different than everybody in this room, right? You guys have all been called here for such a time as this. And in Esther 4:14, if you want to pull that up, it's a huge scripture for me, because I think sometimes in life, you're always in flux. Like as a professional, you're trying to not get fired or you're trying to get a better job. You're kind of like always in this flux and you're never like right where your feet are, growing where you're planted, working to be the best version of yourself and knowing like, no, I'm called right now to be right here. And I think about that a lot for myself as a coach. Like, no, I really truly feel like God's called me here. So I am doubling down on my focus. And that's something that I think is lost sometimes in society, because we live in a comparison society where you go on Instagram or you go on Twitter or whatever your deal is. Hopefully you don't, but I know a lot of people do. And you look at other people's lives and you always feel like there's something better out there for you. And you never are truly content and focused on where God has you. And for me, this verse in Esther and the last part of it that I love is, Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Like, I love that. And not to go into the whole Esther story. It's an amazing story if you guys have a time to read it. But just this feeling of like, you've been called here. You've been called here. And something I was talking to Craig earlier is one of the biggest things that keeps me awake at night is feeling like, Lord, I don't want God to have to send somebody else to do the job he called me for. Right? Like, that's something that I'll wake up sweating in the middle of the night thinking like, Lord, I got to make sure I don't miss this. I can't miss it. You called me here. You've called me to this kingdom for such a time as this. I cannot miss the impact you've called me to have. And I think that for everybody in this room, everybody's been designed for a specific purpose, and you've all been called to this moment for such a time as this. I don't want God to have to send somebody else for somebody here. Here's John. You guys follow me on that? You guys have all been called to this kingdom for such a time as this. And so when me and my wife moved to Boise, I really truly felt that, and I still feel it to this day. I get asked a lot like, well, what's your dream job? I'm like, the one I have. The one I have, because this is where God's called me to have an impact. And so back in 2023, I was the defensive coordinator, and our head coach gets let go, and I'm the interim head coach, all right? And I'm not going to get into all the football-specific stuff on this, but I think this is a really good story that I believe people can learn a lot from and grab. So I'm the defensive coordinator, the head coach gets let go, and I'm the interim, all right? In football terms, essentially, we all just got fired, all right? My come home from this, my wife is taking pictures off the wall, crying. She's asking me, what are we going to do? I have no idea. It's just a lot of flux. And I know, I'm sure everybody in this room has been in that situation at some point in your life where you don't have an answer, right? You don't know what's going on. But I remember just trust the Lord, being like, Lord, what do you want me to do in this? Because it was a dark space. Didn't have any answers. Things weren't really going well, football-wise, on and off the field. Just a lot of things were not going as planned. But I felt like I was putting my all into it. That's the hard one. When you give your all to something and you're still not getting the results you want, you're working your tail off, you're trying to do it God's way, and you just still keep hitting a door that ain't opening. You still keep hitting just a brick wall. Like, that's what I felt like in 2023. Where it's like, Lord, Esther, I thought I was called here. Like, what in the world? Like, I'm reading your promises. Like, I had some really hard conversations with my Lord and Savior during this time. And I felt like God gave me a word, and it was grown men finish what they start. Grown men finish what they start. And I remember the first meeting I had with our team when I was the interim, I walked into the team room and said, guys, I don't have any answers of what's going to happen at the end of the season for me, for you. But I believe that grown men finish what they start. And I feel like that's what something God called me to do in that season. Things had not been going the way we wanted. We'd all been working hard, treating people the right way, all the things that I really wanted to do, but I just wasn't getting the results. Things weren't happening the way that I wanted them to happen. But I just believe that, you know, grown men finish where they start. And then seeing God continue to work, continue to work, continue to work, continue to work, and then being named the head coach at Boise State is a product of God calling me to this place and me not quitting. Right? I think so many times you hit, amen, you clap that up. I think so many times in life, God calls you to something, but then you hit some hard times and you pivot. Like, and then you think, well, this is where God's plan is. It might be. But I just think so many times you got to stand and keep pushing. And that's where I was talking to a mentor of mine during this time where I'm the interim head coach, a lot of flux. God gave me a word that grown men finish what they start. And a mentor of mine gave me the scripture verse. That's one of my favorite scripture verses now that I use a lot. And it's in Revelation 3:7. And I think it's so huge for everyone in this room, even for me. And I'm going to read it here, the second part here. He who has the key to David, he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no one opens, okay? So that part right there, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, all right? What I believe is doors God opens, no man can shut, right? Doors God opens, not doors Spencer opens, no man can shut. Doors God opens. And so I lived in this peace, once again, no idea if I was going to even have a job in a month. No idea where we're going to live, where we're going to move to, where was God going to call us to next. But this scripture verse I hung on to, like, Lord, it ain't in my power. I'm going to work my absolute tail off. I'm going to do everything from a work ethic you need me to do. But at the end of the day, I'm going to live in this peace that, Lord, doors you open, Lord, no man can shut. Amen. And live in that peace and that security. Because, and that's something I even do to this day. Or else you could work yourself silly, Rick. And you're living this constant stress and anxiety. Am I doing enough? Doors God opens, no man can shut. Doors God opens, no man can shut. And I live in that peace. And we have an assistant pastor at Capital Church, and he's our team chaplain. And even during this time, that was year 7 for me at Boise State when I was the interim head coach. And he talked to me about that the number 7 in the Bible is the number of completion. And then the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. And when he's telling me this as I'm going through it, just seeing how God is putting things together. And he told me this scripture verse, Philippians 1:6, which I love. And I think they're so true, is being confident is the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. He will bring it to completion. Amen. Amen. And that's for you. That's for me. So I'm going through this hard time. Things aren't going well. It wasn't like all of a sudden I just ran from Jesus. I was doing what I was supposed to do. And I still, man, it just wasn't working. Doors God opens, no man can shut. Doors God opens, no man can shut. And the work God began in you, the work God began in me, he will bring it to completion. Maybe not in the time you think. Maybe it's going to look a little bit different. But he's going to bring it to completion. Whatever it says in the Bible, I take as gold. Like, that is the truth. And he says that. I stand on this every single day thinking like, Lord, this is on you. And I'm going to put the work in to make sure I can accomplish these things. But I believe you brought it to completion. And that's what God did for me and my family here. He brought it to completion. And not even just in a football sense because I became the head coach, but so many even other things in my life that were in flux, things that I was struggling with, things that I was just had questions about. God brought them to completion. And so hopefully those scripture verses you guys can grab, because these are ones that I grab onto and are written down. And I look at every day. The second I start going away and the times I start thinking it's all in my power, I come back to those scripture verses. And those are my rocks that I stand on. All right. And then obviously become the head coach. Here we are now. And I'm going to talk to you guys about a couple things as we keep wrapping up here, as we go through. We talked about find your why, right? That for me is to have an impact. You need to find that for you. And I'm sure a lot of people in this room have. Think about that though. What's my why? Why do I wake up in the morning? What is those things? And then find some scripture verses to support you in this journey, because no one said the Christian walk is easy. Nobody did. And I talk, me and my wife talk all the time. At the end of last season, there has been a lot of things come at us. Let's just put it like that. People that don't like what we're doing in regards to pushing the kingdom forward. And we need to stand on these scripture verses, knowing that like it's not about other people. It's about the journey that me, my wife, and our family are on. And so as a leader, and I think it's cool that it's Father's Day too, which are leaders in your home, I'm going to try and grow in this every single day, is how I lead my family, how I lead myself, how I lead our team. And at Boise State, which is a part of me too, we define leadership in 3 ways, okay? It's inspire others to achieve is the first part. Inspire others to achieve, serve them so they can, and celebrate them when they do, all right? Inspire others to achieve. So sometimes the term leader gets thrown out a lot. Well, I'm a leader on this. And I deal a lot with players and coaches, right? You want guys to become leaders. And a pastor told me years ago, if you think you're a leader and no one's following you, you're just out for a walk, right? Which I think there's a lot of truth to that, all right? But inspire others to achieve. So I just always like sending this out when I speak to people. What are you doing that inspires people? What are you doing? And that's between you and you. No different for me. People are going to probably listen to me because I am the head coach and whatnot. But am I really inspiring them? Or them around me, they want to do better. They want to know Jesus. They want to run as fast as they can. What are you doing to inspire others? I think that's something that we all need to think about. I think about it every single day. Am I inspiring my wife? Am I inspiring my personal kids? Or do I put them on the back burner and care more about the football team? Can't do that. And trust me, I've made those mistakes. I absolutely have made those mistakes. So what are you doing to inspire others to achieve? The second part is serve them so they can. Serve them so they can. Probably the hardest part. And I think servant leadership sometimes gets thrown around a lot. almost like the buzzword in today's culture. Oh, servant leadership. But I think when we look to Jesus, it wasn't so much servant leadership. He served.
Yes, amen.
Right? It wasn't. Well, because does that make sense, guys? Like, I think about it like washing somebody's feet. That is the heart of a servant. And I was listening to a pastor a couple months ago, and he said that if serving is below you, leadership is beyond you. And I loved that. Like, that hit me like a ton of bricks. So I was like, oh boy. Because I think about that no different as a leader, as someone at a level of influence. If serving is below you, like, no, that's not for me. I'm not going to pick the trash up. I'm not going to help pick up after because I'm this guy. I'm the owner. I'm the whoever. Well, then true leadership is beyond you. And I think about that for myself, making sure I never miss an opportunity to serve. At Boise State football, I need to be the biggest servant there. What does our staff need? I got to come around and make sure they need anything. I'm there for them. Players, what do you guys need? Prayer, time, whatever. I'm there with you. Because if I don't do that, I'm not truly doing what God's called me to do as a leader in that space. Right? And then the last part of that is celebrate them when they do. And I think that's such a big deal, even on Father's Day, thinking of my dad, who's still a huge leader in my life. He celebrated everything I did. When I put my all into something, even if it doesn't go well, he still celebrated me. He'd be that guy like, Spence, you played so well. I'm like, Dad, we lost by 50. But he just celebrated me, believed me. Not fake, not fake, not just trying, oh yeah, you're doing good. Like, very direct, but celebrated me. And I think about that so much with my players, with our staff. I'm on them. We have very, very high standards at Boise State football because if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. So I'm challenging them every single day, but I got to make sure I'm celebrating them. I got to make sure I'm celebrating our staff. And I think something that I've kind of moved on to a lot this offseason is there's a difference between encouragement and this. Encouragement is seeing something that somebody's doing and congratulating them on it, right? It could be getting stronger in the weight room or getting a 4.0. That's something that they're doing and you're celebrating. Like I talked about leadership. Something that I'm trying to do a better job of with our players and our staff is call things out of them that they're not doing. That's that true belief where it's like, hey, maybe you haven't to date done a good job in the classroom or led on the field or how you played or how you're living in the community because you don't come from a great home structure. But I'm going to call that out of them. That's what I'm working to do a much better job of with our players, especially. Like, you didn't come from a great family, but you're going to change the generational curses. You're going to be the first one to graduate from college. You're going to have a great marriage one day. You're going to be a light for Jesus. Like, just calling things out of people that don't, because I'm a product of having a dad and coaches in my life call things out of me when I had no idea. When I had no idea. They called things out of me because they believed in me. And I think as I transition to another point that I want to bring up is, so as you're on this journey as a leader, and everybody in this room is a leader in some form of fashion, right? What are you inspiring, or how are you inspiring others? How are you serving them? How are you celebrating them? Everybody's in that journey. But just like I talked about early, even in my walk in 2023, guys, I was not in a good place, right? Continued to hit just walls that I wasn't able to get through. And this story of David and Goliath, and it's something that I talk about a lot with our team, and I speak openly whenever I get a chance to speak to anybody. The story of David and Goliath. Everybody heard the story of David and Goliath?
Yeah.
Okay, a couple people read their Bible. Good. Powers me up. All right. But the story of David and Goliath, and obviously, as a football coach, 2007, Boise State versus Oklahoma. Come on, drum roll. You guys follow me, right? That's always been like, oh, it's the David and Goliath story. It's little old Boise State beats Oklahoma and all these things, right? So the David and Goliath story, I think sometimes gets cued to feel like this underdog that comes out of nowhere and randomly wins almost, right? I think about, and once again, not talking football, because I'm going to get into the David and Goliath story of what it means to me, but I think about like back in 2007 for that Boise State football team, that was a really, really good football team. There were over 10 NFL football players on that football team, right? They were trained. They were ready. It wasn't luck. It wasn't a flash on the pan. And that's not the David and Goliath story. And so if you pull up 1 Samuel 17:36, This is one of my favorite scripture verses as well that I think about a lot. And this is David speaking here. He says, "Your servant, him, has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." All right. So David and Goliath, this story of kind of this little David beats Goliath. But I think about this scripture, to me, is everything. No, David was trained. Like, this wasn't a one-off for him. He didn't just randomly, "Oh, this is what a sling looks like? Cool. All right, Lord, launch it." Like, he's. I would assume at some point he probably missed when he threw out a bear. And he probably had to figure that out. All right, this is a warrior. Yes, he's tending his father's sheep, but he's out there killing bears and lions. It doesn't say killing gophers. Right? I think about this for myself. And I think about how many times that if David was like, "You know what? I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to worry about the bear and the lion. I'm going to let him eat my father's sheep and we'll be okay." Would David even be someone that's a patriarch in our faith? Who knows? Right? But he didn't. He knew what he was assigned to. He knew the job he was called to. And he continued to kill bears and lions and trained his craft, killed bears and lions. And he kept putting a rock in a sling and kept swinging. And he was trained. I think about my personal life, my professional life, that I got to make sure I kill bears and lions every single day. And I'm like, "Lord, don't let me miss the bear and the lion walking through my door today. Can't miss it. Can't run from it. Can't miss it." Because at some point, there's going to be a Goliath that rolls in. And I need to make sure I'm ready for that by winning those little battles every single day. Every single day, even the mundane, just winning, putting a rock in the sling and swinging. And once again, gonna miss sometimes, right? I assume David at some point probably missed, but he didn't because he just kept swinging. I talked to our team about this. This is life, right? This is how you separate yourself, is you keep at things. When times get hard, you keep swinging. You put a rock back in the sling and you keep swinging. So then when you get an opportunity to go beat Goliath, which could be look different for everybody in this room, personal life, professional life, there's going to be a Goliath moment for you that you need to be trained for. You'll be ready for that moment. You'll be ready for that moment because you killed bears and lions. Even when nobody knew who you were, nobody knew what was going on, you just continued to be faithful. You stayed in the fight and you kept swinging. I was listening to a podcast a couple months ago about this scripture because I love David. I study David all the time. And we talk about the 5 smooth stones that David had. And for the longest, I thought like, well, that's probably if he misses, he can reload. But looking at it and reading through, and I did not, like I said, guys, don't get this twisted. This was told to me from a podcast that I love, that Goliath had 4 brothers. And I love that because God is a God of completion. He didn't just give you one, and if you miss, here's a couple others. David had 5 stones to not only go kill Goliath, to come after the whole family that were going against God's people. And I love that. I'm like, "Lord, you are so good. Like, you train us, you get us, you create us ready for moments as long as we can continue to kill bears and lions. And you always give us more than enough. You always give us more than enough to not only conquer the battle in front of us, but to finish things that God brought us to." And so that's such a big deal, guys, because I think so many times, amen, amen. Because I feel like, and not to get too passionate this Father's Day morning, but I just think, how many times has God called somebody to something, and when the going got tough, they quit. And they felt like, "I don't know if God's called me there anymore." No, you just ran into some hard times. You got to keep swinging. That's a bear that you got to kill, brother. That's a lion you got to kill. Like, it's just, there's no running from that. You got to stay in it. I'm passionate about for everyone I speak to because I am a product of having people in my life pour into me and make sure I didn't quit. If I didn't, I'd be in a gutter in Los Angeles somewhere, right? But people poured into me, showed me just all these scriptures and this relationship with Jesus, like stay in it, keep swinging. And that's my urge to you, not in a trying to leave you hyped up, but just, I know everybody's going through stuff. Life is hard. Once again, no one said the Christian walk is easy. But if you keep swinging, you stay in it, you trust the Lord, God's going to bring it to completion. I promise you that. And don't stop when it gets hard. Like, I really believe when things get hard, you're right where you should be. You're right where you should be. A pastor told me one time, if you are not hearing God's voice, God is on the battlefield, so you better get closer to the war. And I was like, that's good. I feel that. I'm going through a lot of those things right now where it's like, yep, this is a battle. I'm trusting the Lord because we're pushing the kingdom forward. When you fight darkness, it's coming for you, right? But we serve a champion. Right? We know how this all ends. And so just keep swinging, guys. Stay in it. All right, and the last kind of point I want to talk through with you guys today is this idea and this thought of legacy. Okay, legacy. All right, these are things, guys, as I'm talking through, just that are from my heart that I am walking every single day. All right, we talk about love Jesus, work hard, treat people right. That's what I'm working to do every single day. Talked about knowing your why. I'm doubling down on that. Because if it's not about that, nothing else matters. To keep swinging. Like, I'm hitting hard times just like everybody in this room is. But trust the Lord, I'm putting another rock in. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to trust Him. And then I think about legacy a lot. Right? I know everybody in this room has been through deaths and people passing away and hard times and whatnot. So this world is a passing vapor. It's going to be here one moment, gone the next. Right? It's going to be here one minute, gone the next. What is your legacy? And I think about that a lot. Because all the rings, championships, trophies, obviously as a competitor, I win every game we play. I believe it says in 1 Corinthians, run the race to win, no question. But at some point, trophies are going to fade, rings are going to fade. Like, I think about legacy. And I think I want everybody in this room to think about that. Like, what am I leaving behind? When this is all said and done years from now and we are all in heaven away from this, like, what do we really leave? And I think so much of this is the impact you have on people. But legacy is built all the time. All the time. Like, you are what you consistently do. And I think about this story that was told to me a few years back about this home builder. Okay? And he was an elite home builder. One of the best in the world. And had done it for years. I mean, he would build immaculate homes. Amazing lawns. Phenomenal infrastructure. I mean, just world-renowned home builder. And he was at the end of his career. He was going to retire in about 6 months. And so he told his company he worked for that he was going to retire. And the CEO of the company told him, hey, I know you're going to retire, but just build us one more home. Just build us one more home. And this home builder was frustrated. He's like, are you kidding me? I've given you years of work. Look at all that I've done before. Look at all these amazing homes that I've built. Like, really? You need me to build you one more home. But to not mess with retirement, not to ruffle many feathers, he's like, all right, I'll build you a home. But he built this home way different than he'd built the homes prior. Much smaller, didn't use the same elite materials, cut corners. If there was an area of the house that you can't really see, he didn't really attack that design the way he needed to. The lawn was very average. And just a complete below average home, but he just kind of wanted to check the box and move on because he'd already done enough. He'd already done enough, is what he felt. So when he finished his home, they had a retirement party for this home builder. And at the retirement party, the CEO comes up and says, you know, we want to thank you so much for your years of service and all that you've done. And as a legacy for you and as a gift to you, we're going to give you the home you just built as your legacy, right? And I think about that a lot for me, for our team, for you, is like, what am I building every day? What am I building? Do I ever feel like I've done enough? Do I ever feel like I'm getting complacent? Because like, the legacy you leave is what you build every day. Who you impact, who I'm around. Every time I'm around someone, what am I leaving with them? That's going to leave a legacy with them. Like, what impact are you having every single day? Because I'm building my home, just like you guys are building your home. And that's the legacy that you leave every single day. And I think the Lord is looking to and fro to find like who is faithful to me and who wants to continue to do these things. And a story that was told to me a few years back, actually my mom told me the story, is there's this John Wesley. Who's heard of John Wesley before? Yeah. All right. Obviously, patriarch of our faith. His home in England, you can still go through and see exactly the way it was when he lived. He lived in the 1800s, and it's like his home is a museum. And so this group of school-age kids went to John Wesley's home to go through it and see it. And so this group of school-age kids are kind of checking out the kitchen. Oh, this is where John Wesley lived, where he worshiped the Lord. And then they also went up to his room. And when they went up to his room, right by John Wesley's bed were two holes in the carpet where John Wesley would kneel down and pray for hours on end for the nations. Knees worn into the ground. And these kids see these holes in the carpet of where John Wesley just used to kneel and pray for the kingdom hours and hours. And so this group of school-age kids, after going through the bedroom, they end up leaving. And the teacher gets them in the school bus, and she starts kind of taking roll, and she realizes that they're one short. They left a kid in John Wesley's home. So she goes back into John Wesley's home, and she sees nothing downstairs, doesn't see anybody. She goes upstairs, and she sees a little kid kneeling right in where John Wesley used to kneel. He puts his knees in the exact same worn holes that John Wesley prayed in. And this little kid is looking up to heaven saying, "Lord, do it again in me. Do it again in me. Do it again in me. What you did in John Wesley, Lord, do it again in me." And this little kid is Billy Graham. And that is something that I feel that. I'm like, "Lord, do it in me. Do it in me." I don't know what it looks like some days. I don't know what doors you're going to open and I'm going to have to run through. But do it again in me. Have your way in me. I'm going to make sure you don't got to send somebody else to do the job you called me for. Like, that's, I'm on it. Lord, I'm not going to be perfect, but trust me. Do it again in me. And I hope that's our call today, guys, as we end, is just, "Lord, just do it again in me. Do it again in me." And it's going to look different for everybody in this room. Everybody in this room. Everybody's family is going to be different. Everybody's levels of influence for professionally what they do is going to be different. But that's my call every single day. Just like, "Lord, do it again to me. Amen. Do it again to me." And like I started talking about, guys, it's not going to be easy. Everyone's going to hit some hard times. But Lord, do it to me. Keep swinging. Put a rock back in your sling. Keep swinging. You're going to keep killing those bears and lions. Even if no one knows who you are, no one's noticing you, keep swinging. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. It's about pushing the kingdom forward. And just never lose your why, because that's going to wake you up in the morning, and that's going to make sure that God can use you in such a major way. And so, guys, I really, truly appreciate you guys letting me come talk to you. I think a big thing for me, and I'm asking you, please pray for me and our team. Please pray for us. I am actively working to make sure that we use the vehicle football to push the kingdom forward. Every year we'll have a hunt. Thank you. And every year we have 110, 105 football players that are 18 to 22 from all different walks of life. And we have guys in our team that are Christian. We have guys in our team that are LDS. We have guys in our team that are Muslim. We have guys in our team that want nothing to do with religion at this point in their life. And all are welcome and loved. And I tell every family I meet with about my three things: love, Jesus, work, or treat people right. And I was talking to a family the other day because they said, "Well, that's not really us." I said, "That's fine." I said, "But when my head hits the pillow, I'm going to think about your son because of Jesus. That's why your son should be here, regardless where your walk is." And I think, just like anything, it takes time to work on someone's heart. And that's why I'm just continually every day trust the Lord to continue to use me. Once again, have your way in me, Lord. Use me. So guys, please, I appreciate you guys so much. Let me come speak to you. I appreciate you guys letting me kind of share my heart and some of the things that I've been through that have helped me along the way. And hopefully you guys can take a couple things from it so that you guys can continue to push the kingdom forward in your own way. So God bless you guys. Happy Father's Day. Thank you.